Hallelujah. Amen. He's alive. Amen. We serve a living God, not a dead God. We don't just serve some set of rules and principles, but we serve a Redeemer who came for you and for me. Amen. And that's why we're here this morning. Thank you, Talitha, for ministering to us once again. What a beautiful, powerful song. And thank you for ministering to us. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray together and ask God to be with us in these next few moments that we have to share in His Word. Father, I thank you for your presence that's already here, God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the talents that you've given to so many different people, singers and artists and dancers and people who have administrative skills. Thank you that you want to use all of those things, that talents that you've given to us for your glory and for your honor. I thank you, God, that you're alive. Thank you that you're present here, that your Spirit is here with us, Lord. I pray that each and every one of us, each and every one of our hearts would sense that you are here. I pray that you would reveal yourself to all of us today. God, would you minister to us? I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Amen. And He is here among us. We're going to be talking about the champion of heaven. Last week we started a series called The Champion of Heaven, meaning Jesus and how He overcame the grave. Today we're continuing that series. We're talking about the champion of heaven. He overcame the enemy, and specifically, He overcame the devil. Amen? And we're going to talk a little bit about who the devil is. Sometimes people are spooked about what is that, the whole deal with the devil, and movies portray darkness and dark spiritual dark things in weird ways. And we're going to talk today honestly about what the Scripture says. But I want us to know right off the bat that the champion of heaven overcame the devil. Amen? That means he won. He defeated. He took the championship over the enemy. It's an interesting thing. There's a story I've heard an old preacher say that there was a man walking down the street, and when he went to the corner, he saw the devil sitting on the side of the road crying. And the man looked at him and said, "Why are you crying, devil?" And the devil says, "You won't believe, these Christians blame me for everything. Every time that something goes wrong in their lives, you know, they blame me. Even if it was them who did it, they blame me." And he would tell this joke that, you know, the devil is always crying because everybody's blaming him. Because oftentimes there are some folks that blame the devil for everything. Everything goes wrong in their life. Even if there's their own choices and even things that they're doing wrong, they blame the devil for everything. A famous author named C.S. Lewis says something really powerful. He says there are several different things that you can do with the devil that are tricky, and we have to be worried about. We have to be concerned about it. He said you can give the devil too much or too little attention. And here's what he says. There are two equal and opposite errors, I would say errors, into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. One of those cautions is to disbelieve in their existence. I don't believe there's a devil. I don't believe that he exists. I don't believe he's around. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. When I was a little guy, we had a bunch of us cousins. We would get together, and the older cousin, who was always telling tales and stories about things, we would all gather around, and he said, "One time I was in my bed, and I saw this dark figure at night." And all of us were like, "Wow." He said, "And I felt like something was shaking my sheets and moving my sheets," and all of us, all the others, "Wow." And it was like this dark demonic force. We're like, "Oh my goodness." And my dad was around, and my dad was a minister at the time. He still is, but at the time, and my older cousin knew that. And so my cousin says, "Uncle Lewis, what do you think about that?" And my dad says, "You know, it's an interesting thing. If all that the devil can do is kind of make some shadowy figures and maybe mess around with your sheep, that's a really wimpy devil that we're talking about. I mean, if that's all that the devil is kind of scare you a little bit, that's a really wimpy devil." But sometimes my cousin, what he was doing was he was kind of exalting, thinking too much about the devil. And C.S. Lewis says that's a danger. But the other danger is to not think about him at all and to basically, I don't believe that he exists. You know, some of the greatest detriments, some of the greatest pain that someone can bring to a country is when someone from a different country infiltrates another government, another country, as a spy. Everyone thinks that that person is just a normal person in government or in the country, but as a spy, let's say representing a different nation, they can come in and they can wreak havoc and they can cause all kinds of trouble. Why? Because everyone thinks he's a friend when in fact he is an enemy. Are you with me? And so, not believing, there's no way that this person can be my enemy. Well, if you don't realize that they are, they can actually hurt you. The two dangers, not believing that there is a devil or believing, thinking about the devil too much, are the dangers. And today we're going to look at biblically. Everyone say biblically. You know, I don't know about you, but my authority is the Bible. My authority is the scriptures. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about why I believe the scriptures are so powerful and so important. But we're going to look at who the devil is according to the scriptures. And I'm going to start off with a story, a powerful story in the Bible about an encounter versus good versus evil, the Son of God versus the devil himself. And I have this video, and as soon as you have it ready, just put it back up, and I'll stop talking as soon as it comes up. That I want to show you just a glimpse of this encounter in the Bible between Jesus and the devil. You can go ahead. And there it is. Of how Jesus overcame the devil in the moment of temptation and how you and I can overcome too. Amen? Because it's nice to read about it. It's nice to tell the story. But how does it apply to our lives? How can it help me? Amen? And God wants to help us to overcome today. Everyone say this after me. Say, God, help me to overcome the enemy. And in Jesus' name, that is what he will do. And again, if you have a Bible or you would like a Bible, there are Bibles back there. The scriptures are always also going to be on the screens. We're going to be looking at the chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to look at several things that happened during this story. And we're just going to go down line by line. We're going to do a mini Bible study. Is that okay? And it's important to read the Bible. It's important to study the Bible. And we want to do that together this morning. The scripture says in Matthew 4, verse 1, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So that scene that you just saw there, before that scene came to pass, the scripture says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. Interesting that wilderness is an uncultivated or uninhabited and inhospitable region. So here's just a quick thought. Sometimes God's Spirit leads us to places that aren't the most welcoming and aren't the nicest of places. Amen? We find ourselves in circumstances or around people that are inhospitable, difficult situations. The scripture here says that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Could there be times in your life and mine where God purposely allows us to go to places or be in places where we can be tempted? Is that possible? I always thought that being close to God would prevent temptations. If I'm good with God, then I will be prevented. I will be able to escape temptation. But in reality, sometimes we are led to places where we are tempted. This happened in the scriptures with Abraham. He was tempted concerning his son to see if what was in his heart was truly a devotion to God. Other temptations as well. Sometimes you and I, as followers of Jesus, walk into places where temptation comes. And it's probably very easy for me to ask you. You probably, if I gave you the microphone, you could tell me of different times, different moments, or different situations. Every time I am here, I am tempted. Every time I walk down the candy aisle at Wegmans, I want to reach for something. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate it. For those of you who didn't know my vices, Snickers bars are my weakness. Thank you, Sister Julia. Anyone else that wants to share Pastor Lewis's struggles, right? Right? But we're tempted in different ways. Here the Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Who is the devil according to the scriptures? The devil, and I want to talk to you about several things. You have your little announcement sheet. Just to let you know, on the back of them, it's blank, and there's pencils in front of you. If you wanted to take some notes or just some things to remind yourself about what we're talking about, if this interests you, please go ahead and do that. You can write some notes there for yourself. But the first thing, who is the devil? The devil is your enemy. Say, the devil is my enemy. Here's what the scripture says. This is the Apostle Peter, one of the 12. Here's what he says. He says, be alert. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. And I'm actually just going to read the first verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil. Your enemy, the what? The devil. Prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So Peter explicitly says, you have an enemy and his name is the devil. Amen? So he is your enemy. He is the enemy of our souls. The Bible suggests that the greatest bully that ever existed, worse than any problematic person, worse than any neighbor, is the enemy of our soul, Satan. When I was a little guy in middle school, I wasn't the biggest kid. I was kind of chubby and weak. And that's okay. You know, at some point, my dad started, after this season, my dad started exercising with me and training me up in the ways of a man. Amen? But at that time, I was just kind of like, right? And there was this kid, big kid, strong kid, who did not like me. I don't know why he didn't like me. I was a nice guy. But he would bully me, and he would say things, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to do this. And he was a bully. I mean, you know about bullies, right? And he was a bully, you know, and we hear some horrible stories. This bully, literally, he would put his hand around my neck sometimes. And say, what are you going to do? I was afraid. I was a little guy. He's a big kid. I'm like, man, I hated that kid. When I was a little guy, I hated him because he brought out something horrible. He was using his strength against me. He was my enemy, and I wish someone or something could have helped me overcome him. Not too many years ago, here in the church, we had a neighbor who was problematic. He was always asking, looking for problems. We had issues with him all the time. We had issues on the side. He would park his car in areas that are supposed to be ours. He would put signs of things in front of the church. And every time I would go talk to him, he would be very disrespectful and scream and yell. It was a problem. He was a problematic person. And eventually, I would go home and pray and cry out to God, God, help me with this guy because he is a problem. I would still confront him. I would still, hey, this is the way things need to be. But he was it was a thorn on the side of the church because he was doing things that almost, I felt like purposely trying to hurt us. I'm like, why is he doing this? Not too long after that, it was found that this gentleman was conspiring with ISIS terrorists and literally was arrested for that and went away. The government took care of him. And here I was not understanding, you know, we don't understand why sometimes people are against us, and sometimes it has nothing to do with you, it has something to do with them, but enemies come to our lives. Maybe you have a family member who is always trying to hurt us for some reason, saying negative things about us. What is going on? And the Bible says that the greatest enemy that you and I have is not the bully from middle school, it's not your neighbor, but it is one called the devil, and he is not just after you, he is after your soul. He is our enemy, the devil. What else about the devil? So he is our enemy. The next thing is he is married to or connected to sin. Everyone say sin. And people talk about, well, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. But listen to this. This is a very interesting passage. This is 1 John 3, verse 8. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The devil has been sinning from where? From the beginning. That means this is what he's been doing. The reason the Son of God, this is good news, appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason that Jesus appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The devil has been sinning from the beginning, but there is one champion from heaven, Jesus the Christ, who came to destroy the devil's work. So I don't know where you're at and what's going on in your life, but if there's any level of oppression, any level of pain because of the enemy's attacks on your life, you can be sure of this, that when you reach out to Jesus and you connect with Jesus and your heart belongs to Jesus, it now belongs to one who destroyed, who overcame the devil himself. Amen? So every time that we sin, there's something about the enemy in that. And here's what the devil does. The devil is sneaky. Of course, we know this from Adam and Eve in the garden, right? God says, you can eat anything you want on the planet. It's yours. Anything is yours. I just don't want you to eat of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the one. Everything else can be yours. And Eve approached, and the Bible says that the serpent, the devil came in the form of a serpent and tried to tempt Eve and saying, why don't you eat? And Eve said, no, God said not to eat because we're going to die. And immediately the devil says, you're not going. The enemy tries to get us to doubt what God says. At its core, sin is doubting God and believing the enemy. It's doubting God and believing my broke brother-in-law. Right? When it comes to finances, when it comes to something, it's believing other people rather than what God says. By the way, my brothers-in-law are awesome. I love them. But my point is that sometimes we believe anyone else other than God. At its core, sin is believing what other people, what the enemy himself says, other than God. Amen? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Is to destroy it. The scripture says also, not only is he our enemy, not only is he married or connected to sin, but also the devil is not a joke. Here's what the scripture says in Jude 1, verse 9. But when the archangel Michael is one of God's archangels, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses. I don't have time to go into this right now, but it's an interesting scene where Moses dies back in the journey from Egypt to Israel. Moses dies and his body's there, and the archangel Michael and the devil are having some kind of dispute over the body of Moses. It's an interesting little piece of scripture. By the way, the Bible is awesome. It is a fascinating book. If you will study it, if you will read it, you'll find life, you'll find stories that will transform you. But this archangel Michael did not himself dare to condemn him, meaning the devil, for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." In other words, the angels himself are very careful how they speak to the devil, and we need to not treat the devil as a joke, a little, you know, what, with a pitchfork, red tail, right? Who sometimes have this. No, he's doing something. He is the enemy of our soul. He has been sinning from the beginning, and he is not a joke. He is also the father of lies. So say, father of lies. Here's what the scripture says, John 8, verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil. This is Jesus talking to a group of people. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. Where does murder come from? He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. There is no truth in the devil. There is nothing that the devil can bring that can be truthful to you. There is no truth in him. When he lies, meaning the devil, he speaks his native language. What's your native language? When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So lies, the source of lies, are the enemy himself. He is our enemy. He is connected to sin. He's not a joke. He's also the father of lies. That's where lies come from. And again, Adam and Eve in the garden, no, you won't die. He is the father of lies. He always tries to get me and get you to believe something or think something that goes against what God says. God says sexual intercourse is blessed between a man and a woman in marriage. That's what God says. The enemy and the world says it doesn't matter. You're free to have pleasure wherever you go. Who are you going to believe? And here's a very simple thing. I'm going to either believe the enemy or I'm going to believe God. Every time God says something, the devil tries to say, no, 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 no. It's not like that. God is trying to prevent you from knowledge of good and evil, Eve. God is trying to keep something from you. God doesn't want you to have pleasure. And so we jump into that. We jump into what the devil or the world says, and then we get into trouble. God says, I want you to be content with what you have. Bless people that hurt you. The world says, the enemy says, no, if somebody hurts you, you hurt them back. Somebody gives you a piece of their mind, you give them a piece of yours. Because that feels good. That is right. Sometimes we do that in families. There was a preacher who said, the husband is right. The wife is right. The kids are right. And the home is destroyed. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, meaning Jesus. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. That's Matthew 4, 2 and 3. Couple of thoughts on this. The devil looks for moments of weakness to trip us up. Imagine if Jesus had just eaten a full meal, when the devil tempts him with food, it would not have been difficult at all. He would have just said, okay, I'm done. I don't need that But he waited until there was a moment of weakness. Everyone say weakness. A moment when Jesus was weak. He was hungry. Sometimes the enemy waits until someone is lustful or someone is depressed or someone is going through some heartache to try to tempt them at that moment. This is what the enemy does. The enemy usually doesn't come after a wonderful service. We've heard from God. We're feeling strong. We're feeling good. The enemy usually at that time doesn't say, why don't you do this thing? But he waits till we're by ourselves. We're feeling down. We've messed up. Things aren't going right. And then he starts whispering. Nobody loves you. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you run to the bottle? Why don't you just tell this person off? Why don't you just? It's a moment of weakness, and we see the example there with Jesus, a moment where he was hungry. We can learn something from Jesus, amen? He overcame the devil, and we can overcome through him. Here's what we can learn. Jesus' first words in his weak moment, and when temptation comes, the first thing that Jesus says, here it is. Jesus answered, Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written. Don't say, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live on bread alone. It's not just this thing. I need this to satisfy my flesh. I need that to satisfy my craving. I need to tell this person that there's anger in me. I need to satisfy. No, God, man shall not live on that stuff. It's every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every word. Question. When you are weak and when you're going through something, when you are in pain, when you are tempted, what is the first thing? Don't answer me. I just want you to think about what is the first thing that comes out of your mouth? What's the first thing that comes out of my mouth? Oftentimes, I wait a little bit too long. Sometimes when I've had a difficult day or I'm just frustrated and the kids say something, I say, leave me alone! Get away from me! Right? I said, oh, man, I shouldn't talk to the kids like that. Kids, I'm sorry. I've done this, by the way. Kids, you know what, Daddy? That was not right. Daddy shouldn't have spoken that way. I'm sorry. And then I say, God, would you help me? Because I'm upset. Anybody ever upset and you don't know why you're angry? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, most of the time it's because I'm hungry, but you know, whatever. There's different reasons, right? And we need help. And the first thing that Jesus does is not figure out, well, let me just think about this for a second. No, the first thing that Jesus is, he appeals to the Word of God. He appeals to the Scriptures. He appeals to God's Word, which does not change. No matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm going through, I can count on the Word of God. Jesus says, it is written. Just a quick thought. When people mock, invalidate, make light of the Scriptures, they are messing with the very text that Jesus used to fight against the devil. And so somebody says, I don't believe in the Bible. I think the Bible is just nice stories. Well, Jesus said it is written. So you're basically choosing a stance that is opposite Jesus. He thought it was so important that when the moment of weakness and the moment of temptation come, Jesus stood on the word and he said, it is written. So anyone who says, I don't really believe in the Bible is going against what Jesus said. Amen? Man shall not live on bread alone. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The devil was trying to get Jesus to easily and quickly satisfy the desires of his flesh. You know something I've learned? That when I easily say yes to fulfilling a desire of my flesh, I'm just going to say this because I feel like it. I'm going to eat this because I want to. I'm going to do this because I feel like it. Every other area of my life is affected. My spirit is affected. The devil was trying to wear Jesus down. If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Then, the scripture says, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. A couple of interesting thoughts. If you are the Son of God, Satan is always trying to deal with your identity. Who do you think you are? And if God says, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I love you, the devil is always trying to say, God doesn't love you. You are not a son, you're a daughter. You are something else. He's always trying to mess with who we are at our core. Amen. And our identity. Because if we are something that God says we are not, that opens up the door for sin and destruction. If you are the Son of God. The devil also says, interesting, the devil in this particular passage, he quotes scripture too. The devil does. Jesus just quoted scripture. The devil is now quoting scripture. He will command his angels coming to take care of you. They will lift you up so that you won't strike your foot against the stone. It's an interesting thing. Imagine the devil quoting scripture. But he was misusing scripture. He was using the scripture for selfish reasons. He was using scripture in the wrong ways. He was using scripture in the wrong context and for the wrong reason. Be very careful of people who say, oh, no, no, it's okay to do this. He said, well, I've always believed that that's wrong. My grandma taught me that God didn't want me to live like that. No, 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 because there's this real, there's this scripture right here who says this. Be very careful. You know, God is smart. He's a smart God. He's not going to contradict himself. There may be things that you and I don't understand, and we may be things that seem odd, but God is not going to go against what he says. Period. Amen? It is written. Throw yourself down. The angels are going to catch you. I've heard stories of folks whether it's because of drug addiction or other reasons that they can fly and they jump off and they don't fly. They die. This is a suicidal temptation, right? Jump off! And of course, Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Verse 7 of Matthew 4. There's an interesting passage that says, here's how you overcome the enemy. This is one way to combat the enemy. The scripture says, put on, in Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God. I'm going to say full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, against the lies of the devil. You can take your stand against it by putting on the full armor of God. What's the full armor of God? This is found in Ephesians chapter 6. I don't have time to preach it today, but I'm just going to give you a very brief overview. The armor of God starts off with the belt of truth. There was a truth. The Bible says the word of God is truth. And with a breastplate of righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, with your feet fitted with the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. So how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news to the poor. Above all, taking up the shield of faith with which you might quench all the fiery darts of the devil. He's throwing fiery darts, but I've got faith. How do I get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For it is impossible for us to please God without faith. God, increase our faith, the disciples said. So I got that shield. He said, put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne. Today is the day of salvation. And take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That is the armor. Amen? I cannot leave my house without the armor because the attacks are coming. Put on the full armor so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 8 and 9, Matthew 4. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of them. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. The devil shows his cards a little bit here. Ultimately, what the devil wants, it's what only belongs to God. And that's your heart. It's your worship. We worship, we honor, we praise God. And at the end of the last temptation, the devil shows his hand. He says, hey, I'm going to give you all this stuff if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Everyone say only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. A couple of quick thoughts about what to do. Put on the full armor. Amen? There's another scripture in the book of James 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. That's number one. Resist the devil, and the outcome is the devil will flee from you. Some people come to me and say, Pastor, I need help. I'm struggling with addictions. I'm struggling with my family. I'm struggling in this situation. And I need help. The enemy is trying to get me. And I say, before you can resist the devil, you've got to submit to God. We can't resist if there's no submission. And most of us, because we're humans, I as a man, I don't want to submit to anybody. I got this, man. I got this. I got this. I got an issue with addiction. I got this. Somebody, I have an issue with my family, it's their problem, not mine. I got this. But there comes a point when life gets so messed up and the pain is so real that I have to come crawling before God and say, oh God, I submit to you. It has not worked. And God says, okay, now you're submitting to me. Now you're willing to. Okay, now you're going to see how we can resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Submit to God. But what about this? Whatever topic you have a problem with God, everybody has one problem with God. You know, I have a problem with God concerning this in the Bible. Or I have a problem with God concerning this in the Bible. Whatever problem you have, would you just say, okay, God, you know, here it is. I'm going to choose to submit to you today. Whatever you say about this, I'm going to go with what you say. So that I have the power to resist, and so that the enemy will flee from my life. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you overcame the devil. You overcame him on the cross. You overcame him through your gospel. And as the scripture we read earlier says, you came, the Son of God. The reason why you came was to destroy the devil's work. So God, thank you for that. We receive your victory. We receive your overcoming. We receive, God, the joy of the Lord. Because if God is for us, then who can be against us? And God, we tell you today, by faith, we will submit to you. Whatever your word says, we will submit to you. We will see and resist the devil. And we thank you that your promise is that he will flee. He will flee in our lives. May it be so. May it be so. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.